Welcome to the Flow of Life podcast. I am Elena Carrizosa. Well, today's episode is very exciting for me because I recently discovered a huge survival mechanism that I was doing for decades. And before I talk a little bit more about that, for those that are not used to discussing this topic about survival mechanisms, I'm going to start by explaining what does it mean survival for us, and then we're going to see what happens when we are living in survival mode, and we're going to talk about as well about how do we know when our survival patterns are not helpful. So let's start with what is survival for us and what are survival mechanisms. Survival is very important for us as humans. We have it as a survival instinct, just like animals have their survival instinct. Nobody teaches animals how to survive, but they know it's embedded within them. They have already these encoded in their DNA of how to survive, and that's why it's called an instinct. And the same happened with us. We come already with this information in order to survive, and all this information that is collected from generations to generations, everything is encoded within you, in your DNA. And we do the best that we can to take that information and deal with it. The advantage that we have as humans over animals is that if we think about early civilizations, they used to talk a lot more in tribes how to survive. They used to share how to build your own weapons to survive against animals. And they used to teach how to make a good tent and how to hunt. And everything was taught within the family, within the tribe altogether. Nowadays, we don't learn this. We go to school to learn about politics, math, physics, and chemistry, and they're all fantastic and they're good and useful. But some of them, some things I can't even remember. But we kind of lost the tradition of learning how to survive as an emotional human. Especially in today's society, you know, everything just changes and evolves so fast. And even if I remember when I was young, the first time I went to the psychologist, which was 17 and 16, I went because I had so many questions of what I don't understand anything. And I went because I had loads of questions that nobody could answer me. And they were all connected to my survival now. One of the things that I find fascinating is that in ancient civilizations, most of the survival was most like physical survival, you know, because they had wild animals they had to be aware of. It was mostly kind of a physical survival. And then centuries happen when we suddenly develop a more comfortable living. We don't have any more wild animals in our city running loose. We have very comfortable houses. Of course, there are people that have no homes, but I'm talking in general, just to explain the concept, how much it has developed in that sense of safety that we have. And what's interesting is through time, then because we don't have that physical threat every day, and the human have evolved as well into being more aware of ourselves, our emotions, our conscience and everything, then right now it became kind of an emotional survival. And that's why nowadays it's not about a wild animal ate someone, but it's more like people taking their lives or being in depression because they haven't developed the ability to survive emotionally in this world. And so nowadays we can say that it becomes, an emotional survival, like an ego survival. It's an identity survival. So in a way, we kind of keep thinking also in terms of, yes, of course, we need a home and we need food and we need clothing, but we still keep not addressing that within the society that now we live in, we need to also start talking a lot more and sharing more about how to survive emotionally in this world. And it's a much more complex subject, but I think it's one that is very important that we start having more. And that's why I'm doing this podcast and this episode today on survival. And lastly, the number one role of our brain is to help us survive. That's it. It's made to help us survive. And the problem starts when sometimes it does that without realizing that the thing that is telling us to do is not healthy at the long run or is not sustainable for us. It doesn't care. It just needs to survive now because the brain is in the now. I mean, no, the brain can be in the past and in the future, but you know that survival instinct is in the now. I just need to survive now. Now we're going to see what happens when we are living in survival mode. And it's kind of the other side of the coin. Like, yes, survival is good. But when we are not aware of this, when we don't learn about this, and we don't learn about all of the survival mechanisms that we have developed since childhood, then it means that we, let's say, feel stuck or things don't work out. So let's see what happens when we're living in survival mode, which is what I discovered for myself. Kind of I knew for myself before, but recently I just had kind of a whole, how can I explain it? I just have kind of the whole map in front of me, all the dots connected, like, and I suddenly saw it much more clear. It was such a huge insight that came again through big realization. And as I discussed in my previous podcast, it felt like a transformation of, yes, no, I don't want to be in survival mode. But most importantly, I felt like now I'm safe. So this survival mode was created from a sense of that I was not safe since childhood for different experience all through my life. But now it's like stepping back and saying like, no, hang on, come on, I am safe. Why am I behaving this way? And that was fascinating. One of the main things that what happens when we are in survival mode is that for me, the most important one is that we are not free. We think we are free, and I will do another episode on the illusion of freedom. And the survival mode creates this illusion of freedom. But actually, we are not free because we are a hamster in a hamster wheel, just running around without realizing that we're not going anywhere. We're just safe in that hamster wheel, but at the same time feeling dizzy because we are in this wheel, but we don't know how to stop it because it's all we know. And that's the crucial part there. That's all we know. That's why that survival mode is so silent. And it's like that silent current under the ocean that we cannot perceive from the surface, but it's kind of there. That survival mode is there like a current going really fast. Kind of what happened to me. As soon as I had that realization, it felt like a motor inside that suddenly stopped. And I felt really tired, like for 2 or 3 days. I was exhausted. And then I realized and I connected it that I must have been running inside of me to such speed. And it must have been taking so much of my energy that I felt my body tired. It felt like it had been running for a long time. And again, it's kind of these programs that we have at the back that are, sometimes we feel I'm so tired, I don't know why. A lot of the times our worries and concerns that are again at the back of our mind, just sucking up our energy. But then the survival pattern for me was also one of those sucking up energies, behaviors and patterns that as soon as it kind of left my body, then I could then realize how much it was taking. And it literally took me 2 to 3 days to recover. And I gave them to me like, okay, it's fine. I'm going to rest now because I need to integrate this, but I need to let my body kind of readjust. You probably have experienced in the past before when you are in a room and then suddenly someone turned something off. And then you realize that at the back, there was this very tiny, very annoying noise or vibration or something at the back. And only until it stops is that you realize that the noise was there. And this survival mode is kind of like that. Because we are doing it since we are little all our lives, that only when it stops, only like when that noise in that room stops, that we sense. So that's what it feels when that noise is not there. And I'm sure you've had those moments. And that's the moment that I had these weeks suddenly it felt again another moment of feeling lighter. So what happens when we're living in survival mode, apart from not being actually real free, this becomes a comfort zone for us. The way that it becomes a comfort zone is that even there are situations that are not, that we are not happy with. Like, for example, I was not happy with some of my situation, but I was like, how come I cannot get myself out of this situation of, let's say, of more abundance in some areas in my life? Then I realized that keeping myself in that survival mode, because I have been doing it for many years, it became my comfort zone, but also it became something that it was familiar. So that way of living for me was familiar, even though I was not happy with it. But until I discovered that it came from that survival mechanism that turned it into a familiar situation, then that's why it was difficult for me to break free from it. And that was a huge realization. So for you, it can show up like maybe you're feeling stuck, like you cannot move forward, like you're trapped. Maybe for some people, it shows up in needing some quick fixes, some quick addictions with things, because maybe they are suppressing something very uncomfortable, something that is very painful for us. And remember, because your brain is helping you survive, and right now it's all about an emotional survival, then of course your brain is going to do everything in its power to distract you from dealing with that uncomfortable or painful situation. Because for some people, those situations can be to the extreme of, it's so emotional that it feels like a life-threatening situation. And for some people, it can be just that it's uncomfortable. But because our brain is rejecting pain at all costs, for the same reason of survival, then it's going to then convince you to go on Netflix for days and days, and then you feel guilty about it. There's nothing wrong with Netflix. But then if for days you do it, then you feel guilty, then there's something there. Or maybe for some people, it's just addictions to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to different things, where they need that constant flow of that of the dopamine, that happy chemical, which in a way is a way of survival, because it's coping, it's trying to cope with something very painful that doesn't want to address. And when there are those addictions, that's a survival mechanism. Our brain is so smart that it will create the most creative behaviors and patterns to help us survive. And it's fascinating when we discover them. Like in my case, what was keeping me there as well is because I was succeeding, that's my dopamine, which my dear friend Steph, also a coach, helped me make the connection with dopamine. So I was succeeding at surviving. So basically, I was feeling like a very successful person. I was surviving instead of thriving, right? Instead of allowing myself to embrace more abundance, also because there was fear there of losing it. And my brain is protecting me from that pain of losing that thing. And so therefore, it was keeping me with the minimum. I have nothing to lose. But again, that's my survival mechanism. I was not thriving. I was not being abundant. But in some areas, it was obvious in some areas, I was like, but what's going on? Why is this not progressing? And now that I had the whole map in my head, now I understood, and perhaps you can do the same for yourself when you start tracing back maybe similarities, because this survival mechanism will be different for everyone. And that's when it's the other question that I was bringing today. Look, how do we know that these survival patterns are not helpful, or some of them are helpful? Some of them will be helpful, and some behaviors, part of them will be good, but perhaps some other parts of that behavior will not be good. And that's when you need to have your own exploration of how does that shows up for you? What does that mean for you when you are in survival mechanisms? You can start making a list and let your brain just go with flow writing, and you can ask the question, when I'm in survival mechanism, what do I do or what do I don't do? On the question of how do we know when these survival patterns are helpful, I answered a little bit before, and it's obviously there are some that are very obvious. You know, when we have addictions and things like that, we can understand that this is an extreme survival mechanism, because there is something that we are not wanting to address. We are soothing ourselves with the drugs because we want that instant chemical, and in our brain is like, we need to survive, I need to avoid that pain, but we also need to survive. And so it is like the brain knows that we need to be happy and we need to produce this dopamine in order to survive. There are more chemicals, but I'm going to stay with dopamine today because I can't remember all the names of the other one right now. Because the brain knows that you need that, then sometimes if you cannot do it for yourself with just the everyday life, then that's when perhaps your brain is going to push you into addictions or Netflix to avoid. Netflix is kind of a very good avoidance mechanism. But again, avoidance mechanism for survival. Everything that we do is for our survival. So you can start, if you like, with a curious mind to see what areas, let's say, you are not progressing as you would like to. And then you can start exploring by yourself, what are the fears attached to that situation or to that end result, or maybe it's in the process of doing it, or maybe it's in the beginning of that situation. Because most of the times, those fears, when we discover them, we surprise ourselves. We're like, no, it doesn't sound scary after all. And you will realize that a lot of them are probably fears that you picked up when you were little or from a situation in the past. And now you think that every time that happens, it's going to happen for the rest of your life. Like, no, that was one time, you know. Another major survival pattern that is not helpful is procrastinating. Now, I don't believe there's anything wrong with procrastinating, and sometimes it's okay to do it. But let's say when we do it constantly and when it starts to become a heavy burden for us, when we start to feel guilty about procrastinating and we start judging ourselves, then it's very likely that there might be a survival pattern behind that. And this is another example that I have. I'm also a fashion designer. And for a period of my time, I used to work no problem. And then suddenly I started procrastinating. The more my project was evolving, I started to procrastinate more and more and more and more. And I didn't understand. But every time I wanted to work, I just felt like I wanted to go to sleep. Seriously. And I remember every time asking myself, but why am I avoiding this? But I couldn't understand why. And all I did was like, I'll figure it out another time. I just need to go and have a nap. And then I did that for a long time. So my fashion label and everything was not progressing at all. Then I later, when I started coaching, I had a huge aha moment and I realized that there was a massive fear attached to it. And the fear was I was afraid of success because I was attaching success with a lot of pain and negative things. So obviously, for a lot of my things that I do, this has been kind of my one main thing that I've had to work on. And realizing all of the unrealistic and untrue beliefs that I had attached to success that for me felt like a threat. And so if there is a threat there, my subconscious knew that all this negativity was attached to it, then therefore it was helping me. So every time I felt like I was procrastinating, my brain was actually helping me. Like, very sweet. Like, thank you, but no thank you. It was not helpful. To be honest, that's how beautiful our mind is, but it's also as well how we can see how complex it is when we don't bring what is hidden to our awareness, because it means like it's like we're having a second life, a hidden unconscious second life running under the current, under the ocean, like a current that we are unaware of. Another way to know that is not helpful is sometimes when we deny ourselves to have things that we want and we don't understand why we can't have them, but we kind of find excuses not to do them. So it's like, yes, I really want to do that. And that's my dream. But then excuse after excuse after excuse. It can look like procrastinating, but as well, it's kind of sometimes maybe it's not procrastinating itself, but it's just literally with an excuse why we shouldn't do it and why we can't do it. And no, it's not going to work and stuff like that. And that definitely there is a survival pattern there, a fear that is creating that. Sometimes it can happen once, but if you start to trace back in your life, there might be some situations that keep showing up Or there might be a question that keeps showing up for you. Like, every time I want something, I run in the other direction. Why can I not find the relationships that I want? Why can I find the job that I want? And there's definitely a survival mechanism there for you, waiting to be uncovered so you can be then free to realize that whatever fear there is there, through discussing it, you can realize that, oh, I actually do have the skills to do it, or it's going to be fine. We'll do that slowly in that relationship, let's say. To finish this episode, it's really important to understand that, yes, we need to survive, but to understand that nowadays our survival is different. So it's important to talk more about it, because we're talking about emotional survival, identity, ego survival, and how most of this identity is not really our true essence. So with time and again, working with someone, we can understand that we've been defending something that it's okay to let go of. Right? Because remember, these survival mechanisms, they happen automatically. You are like an autopilot. This is where I'll normally default to do this. Now I'm going to do the opposite. And just little by little, that's how we start reprogramming, because we are like computers. With time, we just need to code it back again into a different direction. Be patient. But what makes you feel safe? Ask yourself. You can ask, I've been avoiding this because of this and this and this. What will make it safe for me to go through it and to do it? And then from there, we can allow ourselves to transform because we feel safe to do it. Okay, so I hope you have an amazing week. Looking forward to have you here on the next episode. Take care. Thank you.